two.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Utah Wildlife Board meeting today. Our chair, Del Brady, has got some car problems or something. He'll be here hopefully within a couple of hours. And in the interim, we will proceed onward with the agenda. So I'd like to introduce our board members, Jake Albrecht from the Southern Region, Bill Fenimore, Northern Region. I'm Ernie Perkins, also from the Northern Region. On my right, Alan Clark, Assistant Director, sitting in for Jim Karpowitz today. John Baer from the Central Region, and Mike King from the Southeast Region. And if anybody would like to get a little more educated on what a board member's responsibilities are, I'd suggest that you take a look at the Southeast Region RAC minutes and look at Mike's response when a couple of folks tried to tell him what they thought he should be doing and what his responsibilities ought to be. The answer is absolutely superb, and it's appropriate for both RAC members and for board members. With that, we have an agenda in front of us. I do have one addition to the agenda talking about the Winter WAFWA 2013 issue topics for the Commissioners Committee. And with that, does anybody have any other changes to the agenda? Seeing none, could we have a motion?
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
A motion by Jake, seconded by Bill Fenimore. All in favor? And the second topic on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Does anybody have any corrections to the minutes of the last board meetings?
I'll move that we approve the minutes from our last meeting.
Moved by Mike King, seconded by Bill Fenimore, approved the minutes as published. And I, too, had not a single correction that was worth mentioning. What a great job. Thank you. And with that, we're on to the action log. We have no items. I'll jump in and do that one, too, as I usually do.
Ernie, do we need to vote on that then? Approve those minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought.
I missed it.
I'll make sure that. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Minutes are adopted. And on the action log, we have no items coming due today. Anybody have any additions for the action log at this point?
Ernie, I'd like to put something on the action log or bring it forth to be discussed, go on the action log. We received an email from Mike Christensen here in the Central Region with some concerns about preference points and the current system and how that affects people and their ability to accrue preference points while they're still drawing their second choice. Having talked with people within the division, I would like to put this on the action log. I've talked to Greg about it, and I think we're okay doing this, that we have the division go through and put together a presentation, bring it to us at a future date, and look at how preference points are affecting people and how they work with this new 30-unit system that we have, and maybe look at this adjustment that Mike's brought forth, that you can't accrue preference points while still drawing your second choice. I think that's something to look at. I'm not 100% sure how it all works right now. I'd like to have the division draw that all out nice and educate us all and give us an opportunity to make a good educated decision on that.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Seconded by Jake. And all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Anything else for the action log? I failed to introduce the RAC chair. Sorry, it's been 5 years since I ran one of these meetings, so I'll start over on the left, Steve Flinders, representing the Southern Region, Darris Jones from the Southeast Region, Fred Oswald, Chair of the Central Region, Mr. Lloyd Blackwell, sitting in for the first time in that seat and substituting for the moment for Floyd Briggs, and Rob Burns from the Northern Region. And by the way, I was very impressed with the minutes of all the RAC meetings in this round. Darn good job on some tough topics. So,
could I just get a clarification on the action log item? I think talking to Greg, and I don't know if Greg's in or in the room or not, but we discussed that probably a time to report back to this would be the next Bucks and Bulls hearing or meeting. So I think that's December. Is that, Stacy, the next Bucks and Bulls would be early December? November RAC.
November RAC.
So I think that would be a time for us to report back to the board on that. I don't know if it needs to be in the action log or not, but that's what our intent would be. I talked to Greg about that yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that timing. It would go out as part of the RAC proposals, I assume.
Yeah.
And also the 9 Mile Range Creek one, currently the first item on the action log, has a fall 2012 suspense, and you might want to look at that timing again and what works for that one and when it can be done. I'm not sure in the fall of 2012 you'll be ready to report on hunt results. Okay, Bill?
If we would rather wait until the next year, we'd like to have at least 1 year's hunt pass before we could, you know, start collecting some data. So we'd hope we could put that off for a year.
Yeah, Mike, do you agree with that? That was your item, but I don't see how it's technically possible to.
Right. No, I agree with that. That's fine.
Okay. So we'll change the date on that one. And let me introduce Mr. Calvin Crandall, Central Region Representative on the Wildlife Board. So with that, we're on to our DWR update. Alan?
Stacy, this is Alan Clark, Assistant Director with the Division. I wanted to, Stacy asked me where I was going, but I'm much more comfortable addressing the board from this side of the of things than from up there, so I like to look at people and see who has questions and that. Jim is on a well-deserved time off, and I just returned from, probably not as well-deserved, but from some time off, and so it's we kind of like two ships passing. We didn't really connect, but the staff has been really good to catch me up on some things that have gone on the last couple weeks, and so I'll address those. If you have detailed questions on a couple of the update items, I may have to have a member of the staff come up and give you a better answer, a more complete answer. But let me go through some items. The drawing for the Bucks, Bulls, and Once-in-a-Lifetime permits was completed, and results were posted on May 31 of 2012. As all the board members and many others are aware, we did discover a problem with one hunt. It was the Henry Mountains deer any weapon hunt, before the results were posted. The problem was not due to our drawing contractor. It was due to the division sending a wrong permit quota to the drawing contractor. So it's not a sometimes we hear, well, use a contractor and they make mistakes, but this was our mistake we made here. The problem was discovered before the drawing results were finalized and the applicants notified of the drawing results. All of the people affected by the problem have been contacted and made aware of the circumstances that led to it. They received a letter, and then many of them have called as well. All the people affected by the error were reevaluated, and that sounds like a simple thing, but that's a very complex process that's built into the drawing procedure program that we have, and we use it for other ways, so there is something built into the program that allows us to do that, and have received any permits they would have drawn if the error had not occurred. And so that kind of basically addresses that. So we were able to go back and bring everybody up to where they should have been in the order they should have been and so on. So that's been entirely corrected as far as that goes. Anybody who was charged for that permit on their credit card, the charge has been reversed. So the charging occurs a little bit prior to the finalizing of the draw. I would mention that Stacy and several other people, Greg and Cindy and many of the others, have been involved, and we have a revised process that hopefully will catch and prevent any errors like this from occurring in the future. So that's been addressed in that way. Just additional thing about the drawing, most of the general season deer permits went in the drawing, but we do have about 4,380 remaining. Most of those are archery and muzzleloader. Those will be available, and we're using a staggered process this year since the permits are all assigned to a weapon type. In the past, we couldn't separate muzzleloader and any weapon because they were pulled out of the same pool, but since we have separate quotas for each weapon type now. And so beginning on July 19th, those leftover permits will be available for muzzleloader and archery, and then July 31 we'll do the any weapon ones. And we're separating those to try to break up the demand on our computer system and the internet and all the other things that go on, and hopefully prevent any kind of meltdown that might occur as a result of that. A few more things on hunting issues. Antlerless application period is open and will close on June 21st. So that's open now for people who want to apply. As is typical in the spring, bear issues are increasing and keeping our regional staff pretty busy in a couple of the regions. And so that's going on. The other thing, the design of the new predator control program is nearing completion. We've worked really hard on that, and a number of people have. We held 3 open houses around the state last week, and they all went very well. We had good participation. The rule is nearly ready for filing. That should occur in the next 15 days, roughly, or actually now it's the 6th, so probably the next 10 days that rule will be filed. And there is already a fair amount of information on our website, and additional information will be up soon, including how to participate in the program, how to register, and what you need to do. So that's all going to be showing up on our website quite soon. So keep watching for that. Free Fishing Day occurred over the weekend, and participation, particularly at community fisheries, was very good from what we've heard from people. I'll mention that I was in another state over the weekend, and they also had free fishing weekend in that state, and it rained 7 inches in 48 hours. And I didn't participate in free fishing day in that state, and I don't think anybody else did either. I think everybody was trying to keep their boats from flooding. So, fishing right now is good throughout the state. Our fishing license sales appear to be at least stable, if not up slightly. So things are looking good as far as in that part of our operation. The comment period on fishing regulation changes for 2013 is open now. We're doing it via a survey that's on our website. As you know, we've tried informational meetings at our RACs. The RACs work very well when we're reviewing proposals, but they don't work particularly well when you go out and say, tell us what you think, with a blank piece of paper. And so we've used this other method, and we seem to get a lot more input and participation from people, letting them comment and give us ideas that they want us to explore for the 2013 regulations in the via the internet. We also will probably have a couple open houses coming up as well to discuss ideas. And so this is all done to gather information to prepare proposals. Once we have proposals, they'll go through the same process with the RACs that they always do. Final thing, we have a new regional office in Vernal that opened on Monday. If any of you have memorized the phone numbers at the old office, forget them, because they've all changed. So if you knew somebody's desk that you wanted to talk to, that number won't get you to their desk any longer. Yes?
The front desk is the same.
The front desk number did stay the same? Okay. I was going to tell people that if they wanted to know the location of the new office, and I didn't realize Dell wasn't going to be here at the beginning, but I thought he'd put a plug in for it. But if you'd like to stop in, and Boyd, also there's a open house or dedication of the office coming up on the 20th. Okay, June 20th. So if anybody's out there and wants to get a tour of the new office, that's available in kind of a more formal way on the 20th, although I'm sure anybody that would stop by and ask Boyd to show him around, he'd be glad to show off his new dig. So that's it. Anyway, those are the items I wanted to mention. Are there any questions about the things I covered or additional items you'd like some update on?
Are there any questions from the public, the rack chairs, from the board?
Alan, is there a way that that we could get a handout on those tags that weren't allocated and the number of people who applied for all of the units in the state? Or maybe
hey,
Greg's
let me
got
ask
one.
Greg if.
I have a handout of the remaining.
Yeah, Greg has a handout of remaining. The other information will be available soon, but we don't have that quite yet, Jake, to show that. But that certainly would be available, as we've always done with that information. Yeah, we'll pass that out at a break and put some on the table if other people want to see it. It should be on our website soon. There is now. Okay. So it's on the website right now, too. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the board variance requests. And the first one is Mr. Randall Murray. Judy, you're going to present for him?
Yes. Well, I'm going to do a summary, and then he will. We'll have him come up to the mic. Judy Tutter, a licensing coordinator of the Salt Lake office. Good morning, board members and RAC chairs. We have a few variances to present to you this morning. And as Mr. Perkins mentioned, we will be starting with Randall Murray. He presented a variance request to our committee for a limited entry bear on the Book Cliffs, Bitter Creek. Mr. Murray fractured his ankle during his hunt on September 2nd and tried to hunt for one day. Because he hunted one day, the authority does not rest with the variance committee, so that's why we're here at the board. Although the variance committee does give a recommendation to the board, and the recommendation is based on the fact that the hunter only hunted one day because of his fractured ankle, the committee is supportive of reinstating his bonus points and waiving his waiting period. We'll now have Mr. Murray approach the mic and give us his summary. Yep, right there. Great. Thank you.
Well, what she said, I only hunted one day, so it took me several years to draw that tag, so I just want to know if it's fair. And I've heard in the past that they've issued other tags for people that have been hurt.
Anything further, Mr. Murray?
I got a couple questions for you, Murray, if that's okay. Did you shoot at anything?
Nope. Never seen a bear on the opening day. It happened about 6:15 the second day.
In the morning? How many points did it take you to draw the tag?
Seven.
7 points.
Any further questions from the board members? Discussion or a motion from the board?
We've had a lot of discussion about this. And actually, we're going to be voting on rules that pertain to this here later on in the meeting. And kind of going with what Judy said, the situation kind of sounds to me like it falls within the parameters that we've discussed. You know, one day and, you know, didn't shoot anything, didn't wound anything. So, Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion that we approve the variance request.
We have a motion by John to approve the variance request. Is there a second? Jake seconds the motion and discussion. Bill?
Yeah. So motion would be to reinstate his bonus points.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're...
That's what the committee recommended.
That would be the motion is what the committee recommended. Yes.
Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you keep up with the physical therapy and that it heals completely for you.
And our second
Our next variance request is Chris Flood. He has a limited entry bull elk, Plateau Fish Lake, Thousands Lake permit. Chris hunted one day and he's involved in an accident where he rolled his truck and was injured. And again, because he hunted, it was out of the scope of the committee to mitigate for. But their recommendation is, as well, is to reinstate his points and waive his waiting period. And now we'll have Mr. Flood approach the mic and give us a quick summary of his event.
In September...
Can you state your name for the records, please?
Chris Flood.
Can you speak up just a little bit, too, please?
Chris Flood. We had gone down for the limited entry bull elk hunt, and we got down there the evening of the 8th of September at dark, and the next day... Me and my wife, that was 4.5 months pregnant, we set up camp, got her settled in. That evening, we went out to hunt, and I passed out and rolled my truck. Injured my shoulder, so wasn't able to draw my bow back or be able to go down there because I didn't have a vehicle for transportation.
So you got there the night of the 8th, and the accident occurred the next day?
Is that everything you wish to say?
How many points did you have?
Three.
3 points.
Any further questions from the board members?
Good. Baby's born.
There.
Healthy.
Any discussion from the board members, or do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Jake.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this variance for Mr. Chris Flood with the reinstatement of his bonus points and waiving his waiting period.
Motion from Jake, second. Seconded by John. Any discussion? All in favor? Carries unanimous. Good luck on your hunt.
And thank you.
Okay, our next variance request encompasses three hunters. This variance request come to surface just last Thursday, so it is with our 2012 big game drawing. And this request is for Todd Black, Ben Peterson, and Randy Lucas. And Ben Peterson and Randy Lucas's applications were submitted by Todd Black himself in our big game drawing for any legal weapon hunt on the San Juan Abajo Mountains for a general season buck deer. Mr. Black would like to exchange his weapon type to archery as well as the other two hunters. This, again, is out of the scope of the committee to mitigate for. And so they had to deny the request, and we're here asking for some relief. That although the committee does have the recommendation, it's a little lengthy. If you'll hang with me for just a minute, I'll go through a couple of these items. Under our Rule 42.3, it addresses the process for exchanging general season permits. The rule allows for a sportsman to exchange a general season permit for a remaining permit as long as they are for the same species and sex. All of the archery permits for this area were issued in the big game drawing, which also left 365 unsuccessful applicants. So that left us with zero remaining permits to be sold over the counter. Now, the division each year, been working in the drawings for many years, we get numerous phone calls from our hunters that they've selected the wrong weapon type on their application. And unfortunately, we've had to tell them there's not a lot that we can do for them when they select the wrong weapon type. In an effort to help them, we've enhanced our application. We've done a lot of things in our application to make them aware of what weapon they're applying for, and went through some confirmation pages with them. But it does happen. But there are some options that we do give our hunters, and it's that they can surrender their permit and reinstate their preference points as long as they do that before that season starts. They can exchange for a remaining archery permit. It might be in a different area, but they can do the exchange. And they can hunt with archery tackle during the any legal weapon if they decide to keep that permit that they unfortunately drew. And this is the committee's recommendation and some ideas that could help mitigate for this situation. And now we'll have Mr. Todd Black speak to this variance request.
Morning, gentlemen. I appreciate this opportunity, first of all, in our process that we have in Utah. So a complete stupidity oversight on my behalf. I haven't hunted rifle for, I can't remember the last time I hunted rifle in Utah, and actually put in for two friends as well and did everybody else right, but for whatever reason, I applied dual with one of those gentlemen and then applied just right after with Randy Lucas. So it just a complete oversight on my part. I am not at all interested in doing a rifle or hunting in a different unit. Neither are these gentlemen. Will likely just surrender the permit if a variance isn't requested. But if you look at it from a opportunity standpoint, it's a more primitive hunt that offers less success. But just with what I have and with kids and things that Drew permits, I won't be hunting with a rifle. So if a variance isn't granted, it will likely all just surrender our permits.
Thank you. Good question. I believe the second choice on that drawing was the cash.
Yeah, for a rifle, again, for the cash. And I just, the second choice would have been archery for the cash, but just, yeah, that's what it was.
Is there an archery permit remaining on the cash?
Aren't there, Greg?
Greg, you got the remaining list there?
Or you could get your second choice.
I could, but mitigating circumstances that have happened since the draw won't allow for me to do that. Just I won't do that. So
I just wondered if that was an option. Other questions from the board? Mike?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this vote because Todd and I are essentially in the same department at Utah State University. So in view of that, I would request to recuse myself.
Understood. Bill?
One of the options is mentioned here is that they can hunt with archery tackle during the any weapon season. Isn't that a good option?
That's correct. And again, just with mitigating circumstances that have happened with my kids and those things that have drawn, they've drawn rifle tags, and they've drawn them in another different unit, so I won't be doing that. If you want to punish me, I'm fine with that, but those other two guys, I've made mistakes before.
Further questions? Bill?
Well, aside from this, I just want to mention to Judy, one thing you might consider, you mentioned there's every year this happens with any number of different folks that have checked off the wrong weapon type. You know, in a system like that, perhaps you could have the person enter in the weapon type they want, where they don't just check a box, but they actually type it in and then do it a second time to verify it. That might help eliminate that issue.
Yeah, there's some other options we can definitely continue to look at. Thank you.
Chair will entertain a motion. Jake?
When I filled out my permit this year, I sent it in, and a couple days later, and I got thinking about it, and I went back in and checked, and I'd made something similar to what Todd is talking about. So we had to resubmit on our side of it. But as much as I like Todd and what he does for the state of Utah, I don't know how we can pick and choose who gets to exchange their permits without setting a precedent for the future years. So with that, I would make a motion that we deny this variance request.
John? Is there a second?
I'm going to second it. And I'd like to clarify, I feel your pain. I'm sorry. But it sets a bad precedent.
I know what you guys are up against. And I actually have done this with a limited for a client that drew a limited entry or bought a limited entry elk tag at one time. So I understand what you guys are up against. It seems, if I may just make a general comment, and I talked to Greg a little bit about this, it's a degrade essentially of a weapon type and a percent harvest, you know, pretty significant degrade. It seems to me like this is something that at future ought to be something that could be discussed. It kind of seems like if we're looking at it from strictly a biological standpoint, it's a non-issue, as you guys all know. If we're looking at it from even a social standpoint, from somebody that's hunting private land, which we would be, to somebody that's hunting public land, it's even a non-issue there. But I understand the precedence and the rule.
The hard part I'm having with is there's 300 and some guys that wanted archery as their as their first choice and still didn't.
And look at all the guys now that could, if those three permits are surrendered, that could draw a rifle that didn't.
Hey, I'd just like to clarify here. This motion is applicable to Mr. Todd Black, Mr. Ben Peterson, and Mr. Randy Lucas, three variance requests. The
correct.
Motion on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's confirmed. Any further discussion? All in favor? Unanimous with four and one recusal by Mr. Mike King. And with that, we're on to Mr. Gary Bigler.
Okay, yeah, our next variance request is Gary Bigler. It's father and son, and they're in-laws to Edward Graves. Now, Edward Graves, we'll need to place a phone call to him. He was the leader of this group of five that fell off of his roof and had concussions and spinal injuries, which promoted this variance request to come in. Now, they were a group of five and was able to deal with Edward Graves and his son and his brother because they fell under the definition of immediate family. And what the committee done at that point was authorized to extend their northern region general hunts. And because that hunt is no longer available for 2012, it offered up a refund for those three. And so they were made whole again and taken care of. The two Biglers could not fall under that definition and could not be taken care of. And so they're here in front of the board. Edward Graves is to ask the board for some mitigation for those two. They're non-residents to our state. It was a family unit, and they're trying to do their last family hunt, and it fell apart when he got injured. And so now we just need to call him, and he would like to speak to the board and give you a summary of his incident and what happened there. Any questions before we place the call?
And specifically, what variants are they requesting?
Well, he's ultimately wants to request a refund, and in order to do that, it would have to be an extension by the board of those two hunts, and then it would revert back to the refund because that hunt is no longer available. And so that's kind of how we had to deal with approved variances last year on general season because the hunt's not available this year with the unit by unit. So
to clarify then, they are requesting, in essence, a refund on a general season hunt.
Mm-hmm. Which would have to be approved as an extension.
And an extension on a general season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
And Ernie, just to clarify, the board doesn't, under this law, have the authority to issue a refund. So
Yeah. You
could pass that motion and you can't do it. We can't do it. So, but if, in effect, after you listen to the permit holders discuss it, you can, in essence, do that by just extending their hunt. Since there no longer is a regional hunt, we would offer them a refund then, and that is allowed. So you can get to a refund, you just can't make the motion to do a refund.
And that's what they want. They want a refund.
They
just want to turn the permit back and get a refund. What happens to that permit then?
Those permits then would be gone.
Yeah, it's last year.
It's gone, or nobody else gets to use it because it was always last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in the transition year, Calvin. After that, we can still do some things with permits, but where we're at right now, you can't. So if you decide you want to do something, the appropriate motion would be to extend their
mm-hmm.
season. And I'm not telling you what to do, but so everybody understands that. It's pretty confusing. It'll mm-hmm. be a lot clearer after the rule change that's made this afternoon that will apply to next year's permits. So.
Question for you. Are these non-resident permits?
They're not, yeah. The two are non-residents. They live out of state.
One more question. Has the board ever approved an extension on a general season hunt?
They have done a few, mostly some non-residents, like when Katrina happened and a few things like that happened. We have dealt with that at the board level.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more question. Could they not have surrendered their permits before and just...
Well, they could have. I received this variance request in early February, and what I'm hearing is that when he was so badly injured, and he still is ill to this day, that nobody thought about they knew they weren't going hunting and they weren't coming to this state. And I think until they picked up our guidebook and read it and said, oh, wow, we could have got some mitigation. Why didn't we? By that time, it was, the hunt was over. It was too late to surrender those and get their points reinstated. But, yes, they could have surrendered those prior to that and at least got their points. They would not have received a refund at that point because they didn't qualify for it. They're not the injured party, so. We ready? Phone call. I know.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Graves. This is Judy Tudrell. We're into the board meeting right now, ready for you to present your variance request.
Okay, Judy.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. We're ready for you.
Well, I don't know whom I'm speaking to. I guess just the board.
Correct.
Yeah, Mr. Graves, this is Ernie Perkins speaking. I'm serving as chair of the board today. And we have six board members present to hear your request for a variance. So if you would proceed, please, with your presentation.
Okay, Ernie. I believe you've had a chance to review the package that I had sent to Judy.
That is correct.
Making this request. And the things that I had mentioned in there were basically an outline of what took place then and what the prognosis was, you know, for my return to good health. It would be just a year ago tomorrow that I was on my roof removing some debris and leaves and stuff off of it, and I had stepped back from the edge and went over backwards and landed roughly 10 feet below on my back and the back of my head and sustained multiple fractures of my spine and shoulders and a pelvis area, and I had a severe concussion that caused bleeding on the brain. Just giving you that little bit of a background, I had previously, I had planned to have my loved ones come and have what perhaps might have been the last time we'd get together, all of us, to be able to be together in camp and get out and for those that really wanted to hunt, could hunt. And that wasn't possible because of my accident that I had. Now, this was something that I had planned for all of them, and the two that the variances I've requested for would be my son-in-law, Gary, and his father, Gary. They both live in Arizona. I had received a reimbursement for my son and my brother and myself because they are immediate members of the family, and it was brought to my attention that because my son-in-law and his father was not, that the ruling and the rules that are there with DWR would be that they weren't qualified, or I guess if that's the right word, to for a variance. And I have done everything I could do to show that there was never any other attempt to come and hunt because of this. A couple of them that would have been their first time in Utah, and one of them the first time to ever be out hunting, but he and I would have done more camping than anything else. One of my reasons for doing this is the last 8 years of my life have been somewhat traumatic, and then I added this accident to it, and I'm a recovering cancer patient, had stage 4 cancer been very fortunate to continue with my life, and I've just had a series of problems because of the treatment that I'd received for that after heart attack, bad kidneys, just diabetes, just a number of things that I've been treated for, and last year would have been a great year for us to be able to get together. And that was really the purpose for it. These are family members that I love and respect, and we were looking for a good time together. I don't know what I need to tell you as far as my continued recovery, but I have many issues still with this. I just was thinking, too, I've purchased over these last 7-8 years, I've purchased hunting licenses, and for the most part, I think I've only gone once or maybe twice out of those 7-8 years, but I never expected to have any money reimbursed. And I would hope that I could this time. I had paid for all of these permits and the license fees and everything out of my pocket. It was something that I had done to be able to bring them here and show them the best time that we could have together. I don't know, unless you might have some questions. I think that it's something that I know that you're considering to be able to reimburse me for this. Needless to say, I have a lot of doctor bills and things that I'm continuing to have to pay and catch up on, and it would certainly support me, help me, if this could be done. If the DWR has caused to keep that money because of debt that you may have incurred because of this yourself, I'd like to understand what that was, and I'd certainly understand why you would want to keep the money back. I just appreciate the opportunity I always have of being able to hunt and fish here in Utah, and haven't had a chance to do a lot of it, but it's something that I've really loved doing and hope that I can again. I'm hoping that maybe next year, if my age and everything else will permit me, I might try and do this again, only this time not jump or fall off my roof.
Thank you, Mr. Graves. Questions from the board members?
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. King?
Judy, has any money been refunded? I'm a little bit unclear on that. Was money refunded on the other
three? Yes, on the other three that qualified for it, that's been refunded and taken care of.
And so what's the total amount then that would be refunded if...
For these two, they're non-resident, so it's 263 times two. 263 for each one of them. It's general buck deer.
All right, thanks.
Any further questions?
Just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, so what we would need to do is extend the season,
correct.
His season, and that would make it such that you could refund him his,
that's correct.
His permit fees.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's not asking for points, anything like that?
In the refund process, that would reinstate those points if that's approved as an extension,
okay.
And then that comes with it.
So it would make him whole.
Mm-hmm. It'd okay. Make these two guys whole.
One more question. Do you refund all of the money, or is there a handling fee or something like that?
No, there's no handling. Retains? Would be no handling fee out of this one. It comes out of our limited entry, but not general season.
Any further questions? Discussion or a motion, please? Mr. Fenimore.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve an extension of the season so that through the process Alan described, the gentleman would ultimately receive a refund. And I wish him well and recommend he stay off the roof.
I thank you so much.
I second.
Is there a second? Second from Mr. King. And this is to approve a season extension for Mr. Gary Bigler and Mr. Gary Bigler. Seeing no hands, all those in favor? And the motion carries unanimously. Good luck, and we hope you have a hunt next year with your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this very, very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, our next variance request, our last variance request, is Dennis Kalash. He's a non-resident out of Missouri who obtained a CWMU bull moose permit on the two bear. He actually got to go on that hunt for a matter of 2 days when he was notified that his brother was in critical condition and had gotten an accident with a horse and had to fly back home and not enjoy the rest of his hunt. We contacted the operator, Kim Rolfe, and he said if this variance is approved, he would allow him to hunt on that CWMU this next year. But again, this was out of the scope of the committee because he did hunt the 2 days. And although the committee is sympathetic to his issue, because he did hunt the 2 days, we've stayed pretty standard with recommending that the variance request be denied based on those 2 days of opportunity. And he's one gentleman we will need to call. So you have any questions prior to the phone call?
I do have a question, Judy. This was a CWMU permit.
Correct.
So it was a purchased permit. I don't think we have any non-resident moose, do we?
It was a purchased permit.
Right. No non-resident CWMU permits in the drawing part.
It was a private purchased permit.
Thank you.
So what's he requesting? Is he requesting
an extension to
just
hunt
an extension next. To hunt the following year?
Mm-hmm.
On his permit that he has now.
Mm-hmm. And the operator said he'd allow him on, and I think even his guide said that he had worked that out with him as well.
Okay.
Any further questions? Let's go ahead.
Fitch and Associates.
Hi, this is Judy. We're in the Wildlife Board meeting. We're trying to reach Dennis Kalash.
Sure. Hold on one moment, ma'am.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Dennis. Hey, we're here in the Wildlife Board meeting, and we're ready for you to present your
variance
request.
Oh, okay. Here, let me close the good deal. I was working on another job. Let me get everything out of the way. I had all your stuff laying. Okay. Ready when you guys are, I guess.
Yes, this is Ernie Perkins serving as chair today, Mr. Kalash, and if you'd go ahead with your presentation, please, and then so the board members may have some questions, and we'll go from there.
Okay, you said Mr. Perkins?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I'm Dennis Kalash, and I guess what happened is I was going to go on a Charis moose hunt, and I went to Kim Bonnet, and when I got out there the first night, I mean, it was late in the afternoon, and we just got in the truck, and he said, they're going to show me, the guide said, I'm going to show you some spots on the ranch, and we drove up on a hill, and then what happened is the next day, I went out, and I got a call that night from my wife, and said my brother was in a very serious accident, and they didn't know if he was going to make it. So I said, what's going on? They said, well, they're flying, you know, he's at the hospital right now. They flew him down. He's in St. Louis. So I got up the next morning, and I told my buddy, I said, we've got to head out. And he had shot a moose that day, and we loaded it up. And I came home, went down, and spent time. He was in ICU for 7 days. A horse had stomped his face and head, and I didn't think nothing about the moose hunt or nothing, and then one day a guy calls me and says, you didn't report your hunt, you owe us $25 or $50, whatever it was, and I was not in a real good humor that day, and I just said, I'm not paying no $25, and he said, well, you can never hunt in Utah again. So I got a letter from you guys in the mail, so I called to see what was going on. They said, well, you got to report your hunt. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I've been with my brother in the hospital. I said, I never even looked at my license or read that little thing. And the guy said, well, he goes, if you can prove your brother was in the hospital, we'll waive the $25. And I said, that's fine. And then I called back to see where I should send the stuff. And one of the people in your office explained that y'all have a variance, and I didn't know nothing about a variance. And they said to me, well, you didn't get to hunt, what happened? And I sent them bills for over $120,000 on my brother. I think it came up to $175,000. I mean, it was a very, very serious accident. And so they told me if the owner in Kim Bonnet would let me come back, I could possibly come back and hunt, which I thought, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. And so I sent a letter in, and they sent me a letter back and said, somebody rejected it. So I needed to appeal to the boards, so that's what I'm doing.
All right, sir. Thank you. Questions from the board members?
I got a question.
Mr. Bear.
Yes, sir. How many days would you say you actually hunted?
Well, when I got out there, we don't even think it was a couple, because I'm going to tell you what happened. That afternoon that we went out, we unloaded all our stuff, and, you know, we drove out, and there was a bunch of cattle, and we pulled up on a hill, and it was late in the afternoon, and we listened to the elk bugle, which I wasn't elk hunting. I mean, that was neat. The next day, we was going to just kind of go around and see some spots, and then that's when I got the call. Now, the next morning, they said, do you want to go out? I got up real early, and I had my brother on my mind, and I said, I'm packing my stuff and headed out. And that's why Kim Bonnet wrote in a letter, if you want to call that a couple days, I was there in the afternoon from about 3 o'clock till dark, and then I was there for one full day of hunting. But to me, it was more like, hey, let's look around. It's the first day. And then I was out of there. I mean, I didn't leave till the next day. I did stay that night, but, I mean, it was dark.
So you got there the first afternoon, and the next evening is when you were notified of your brother's accident.
The next evening was when I was notified by my wife. And like I said, then I got up the next morning, and I mean, well, hell, I didn't sleep at night. And we headed out, and I drove straight through.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Mr. King.
You mentioned that you were, that there was, I guess, a partner with you, is that correct? And that he did kill a moose, is that right?
Yeah, he killed a moose. That day that we went out,
the second day,
he killed a moose that day. Yeah, and I don't even know which day that was because I don't have that in front of me. And in fact, when we came in that afternoon, we didn't even hunt. I mean, we was talking to him about his moose and getting it hung in the cooler and all that kind of stuff. They kind of quartered it out there in the field, and when we came in. And I don't know if it was 1 or 2 o'clock. I mean, we're talking months ago. But, you know, when he had the moose, we all went down to the cooler and hung it, and we talked like that because they came in at noon and ate. They said, you know, we'd go out in the morning. And that afternoon, we had to cape the hide and everything else like that. I do all the caping, and I got the phone call that night. And like I said,
It was that night that you got the phone call.
Yeah, it was that night that I didn't have cell phone service out there, so what I did is I just, Donald had it, and his wife called and said, you know, Tony's got an emergency. Well, I own a farm and have cattle, and I didn't know what it was, and so she called on his cell phone, and she was just beside herself. And I don't know if they gave you guys the bills or not, if y'all seen that.
Thanks.
Mr. Fenimore, you have a question?
Actually, Mike had my question. Where's the two bears, CWM?
I'm sorry, I can't hear nothing.
Yeah, Mr. Fenimore is asking for a description of the location of two bears, CWMU. Anise?
I'm sorry.
It's on the Bear River drainage way up
It's up
way up high, right near the Wyoming line. Yes, actually, the shortest way is to come back in from the Wyoming side there.
Further questions from the board? Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Klosch. Discussion or a motion from the board, please.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we've tried to be somewhat consistent about one, you know, within one day of hunting when there's a tragedy. I guess this one is close and is going to kind of depend on what we all decide is one day or 2 days of hunting. And I think this, what we do with this case will probably have ramifications down the road because this is going to kind of set the precedent. Personally, I feel like Mr. Kalash, if he arrived one evening and got settled in and whatnot and then received the call the next day, the next evening, in my mind, I can't quite stretch that into 2 days. That I can consider that as one day. If he would have went out the next day after that and hunted, I think he would have hunted 2 days. But personally, I'm leaning towards I think I'd credit him with one day of hunting, which falls, you know, consistently in with what we've been doing and kind of where we're trying to draw the line. So I'd kind of be leaning towards Mr. Kalash here.
Question. This is Calvin Crandall. Part of the second day or the full day of hunt was when your partner also shot a moose and you spent some time taking care of that moose or helping him. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So would that be considered hunting?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question.
You're on a hunt with a guy, but you're helping him take care of his moose. So
yeah.
That's cool. You know, are we splitting hairs here, John, by saying was this a hunt or not?
I don't.
You know, that's...
I've been lucky and got to do some hunting, and I'm kind of emotional about this, but I don't believe I got to hunt, you know.
Mr. Chairman, I think there's only one way to put the test
John,
to this.
John, let me ask first. Further discussion? Go ahead, John.
I think there's one way to fill this out and see what's going to happen. That'd just be to put it to the vote. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve the variance request by Mr. Dennis Kalash and give him the extension that he's after, that he can come back this year and hunt moose on the two bear.
We have a motion to approve the variance for Mr. Kalash. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crandall. Any discussion?
Yeah, question. He does have permission from the CWMU operator to come back and hunt.
Yes, that's correct. He does.
I'm going to say, I think that's in the letter here, mm-hmm. that he says, yeah, well, I'll let you come back. Apparently there's animals there to be taken.
Yeah, he approved that.
And he approved that.
And mm-hmm. and the guide, and I think by doing this, we're all, yeah. and he would be aware of the fact and that all the guides and the outfitters and the access and all the things that come along with the CWMU permit, that's still his responsibility. All we're doing is allowing him to
right.
extension on the
He just
on
gets
the
an
permit.
Extension on the hunt, and then it's up yeah. to him to rear, yeah. to range and do everything.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the variance. All those in favor? And it carries unanimous. Congratulations, Mr. Kalash, and good luck on your hunt.
Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate this. So what I do now?
I will contact you and take care of the rest of it for you.
Thank you. Thank uh-huh. you very much.
You bet.
Tell your buddy he's got to go with you and help you this year.
I'm going to call him right now. I'm so damn happy it's unreal. So thank you guys very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, can I just clarify something on that? If I would have felt like there was 2 days, a full 2 days of hunting there, I think that's where I would have drawn the line, but I can definitely count that as one day. So
I think we're going to get back into this in less than maybe an hour. We'll see. So with that, then, we're on to the conservation permit rule amendments. Kevin Bunnell presenting, and we'll plan on taking a short break after this.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'll be presenting the conservation permit rule in a couple of different phases. I'll give you some history and some accomplishments, review quickly a legislative audit that happened last year, and then review the recommended changes that we're recommending be made to the rule. So just some history. The program began in 1981 with a single desert bighorn permit that was marketed by the DWR. It expanded to a maximum of one permit per species through 1994. Began a period of rapid growth in 1997. And to kind of give you an idea of how that went, in the first 18 years of the program, it generated a total of $1.3 million. In the next five-year period, from 1999 to 2004, it generated $5.7 million. The next five-year period, from 2005 to 2009, $12.5 million. And then in the last 2 years, it's generated $5.3 million. So since 1981, the program has generated over $25 million. And this is money that's important to the division, I believe it's important to the sportsmen of the state, because one of the main things that this program allows us to do is to maintain more opportunity for residents. If you look at Utah's split, residents and non-residents versus all the other states, the proportion of permits that we give to non-residents is much lower than any of the other states that surround us. And this is one of the programs that allows us to do that, because it allows us to generate funds for species like bighorn sheep, like moose, that we don't generate a lot of money because of permits, but yet are require a lot of active management and are quite expensive to do. So moving into the regulation history, so the rule has been modified at least seven times in the last 13 years, and each time before we meet with the groups and go through, you know, what's working from their side, what's not. We bring up some issues that we have, and we have a good discussion with them and then move forward. So with that process, I'll just hit briefly that some of the changes that have been made. So in 1999, the maximum number of area permits was capped at 8. Also, in 1999, there was an evaluation formula that was put in there so we could evaluate past performance. And then there was a clause put in that the recipient may designate another person for a permit if they're successful in the big game drawing, so that somebody doesn't end up with two once-in-a-lifetime permits, or in a year it allows them to make some adjustments if they need to. In 2000, we opened the rule again and clarified that, or added a clause that money can be used for other than the species that generate it, but only if the group and the DWR agree. And at that time, we also added turkey, cougar, and bear statewide conservation permits. In 2002, we clarified that one application was allowed per conservation organization. We put in a clause that the Wildlife Board can select a recipient other than the high bidder after considering four criteria. We added criteria for limiting growth of the program, and then also added some language that allowed the board to authorize a second statewide conservation permit for special events or purposes. Moving on to 2003, we clarified that 90% of the funds raised must be used on projects that benefit conservation permit species. We added auditing and accounting procedures, and project and reporting and approval procedures were added to the rule. In 2006, we defined what conservation species were, and that stayed consistent. It's deer, elk, pronghorn, moose, bison, bighorn sheep, turkey, cougar, and bear. Now, there have been some other species that have been in and out of the program. At one time, there were swans and sandhill cranes. I think sage grouse and sharp-tailed grouse were also part of the program at various times. So they are no longer included in the program. Also in 2006, we instituted the multi-year permit program and defined the procedures that go with that, and we made a change for bighorn sheep to allow 10% of bighorn sheep permits to be used as conservation permits. Moving to 2007, we added that the person identified on the conservation voucher must also have a Utah hunting or combination license. That's the same time when we made that requirement for everybody that applies through our regular drawing, so that it was consistent with what the general public was required to do. And in 2010, there were some special Antelope Island permits that were added for mule deer and bighorn sheep. Now, these work a little bit differently. They must be authorized both by the Wildlife Board and the Parks Board, and the revenue generated from those permits goes directly to the Division of Parks and Recreation. They're currently using that to do some research on bighorn sheep and stuff out on Antelope Island. In 2011, the legislature requested that their auditor, the legislative auditor, conduct an audit of the conservation permit program. They came and visited, spent quite a bit of time researching the program, understanding the program, and evaluating it. And I'll just give read the conclusion. At the end of the audit, they stated that the sale of conservation permits promotes habitat improvements on public lands with no expense to the taxpayer, while negligibly reducing the public's opportunity to draw a permit for a limited entry hunting area. And finally, their statement was, we would encourage the division to continue to support the program. Hard to imagine coming out of an audit better than that. So that we were glad to see that it stood up to that scrutiny. Just briefly to review some of the accomplishments, a lot of habitat work that's been done. The conservation permits have contributed to at least 309 different projects. That's not to say that they fully funded it, but a portion of the funding of at least 309 habitat projects came through the conservation permit program. We've used these funds to accomplish a lot of transplants, particularly with bighorn sheep. We've moved close to 600 sheep since 2000. This is both within the state and several big transplants, moving sheep from other states within Utah and starting new herds. Multiple pronghorn transplants have been accomplished, and then it was conservation permit funds that supported the establishment of a new bison herd on the Book Cliffs, moving bison from the Henry Mountains. We also, the funds that are raised from this program allow us to get some questions answered that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. Some examples of some of the research, so the highway mortality work that's been going on that I think everybody's aware of. Effects of predator on mule deer, so the big study that's going on down on Monroe Mountain is being funded largely with conservation permit funds. The fawn and doe survival, the collaring program that gets brought up a lot during the big game recommendations, where we're tracking overwinter survival for does and fawns. That program's largely funded with conservation permits, and then we're also starting a big research study this year to look at moose survival in the state and what's impacting our moose populations. So with that, let me move into the recommended changes. The first is to allow turkey conservation permit holders to hunt statewide during the general season, just to make it consistent with the over-the-county turkey hunt. So what that means is the person that gets the conservation permit, they will hunt during the limited entry season. If they don't harvest, they can continue to hunt during the over-the-counter portion of the turkey hunt. We've also defined the potential number of multi-year permits is calculated based on the number of public permits issued to the year prior to those permits being rewarded. So we're currently, later this summer, we'll be rewarding three-year permits for 2013, 2014, and 2015. Those will be calculated based on the number of permits that you guys just authorized for the 2012 big game seasons just a month or so ago. And then we've also included a table to define the potential number of multi-year conservation permits available. Now, this is part that you've probably received some information on. This has raised some questions. Let me just be clear that the only reason our only intention in putting this table in was to add transparency to this rule so that there wasn't any question or any interpretation. I think it caught some people off guard. This is the way that we've been calculating these permits up to this point, so there's no change here. But other people, as they read the language, it had some language that said a maximum of percentages was being interpreted differently, and so I think this caught some people off guard to know that this is how we have been interpreting it. But the point of putting it in there is to just get rid of any interpretation and to make it completely transparent on how we are calculating the number of permits. So whatever comes out of this, I would suggest that there's a table of some sort included in this rule so that there is transparency. Another change, we're recommending that we include an option or a mechanism for reducing the number of conservation permits for once-in-a-lifetime species if the number of public permits declines during the time period for which permits have been awarded. This is an issue that came to our attention during the last three-year period, specifically with moose. Moose permits have dropped steadily over the last 3 years. We awarded conservation permits based on the number of permits that were awarded in 2008, and over the three-year period, there was an imbalance that formed because of the conservation permits that had already been awarded. This puts a mechanism in the rule to allow us to rectify that if we end up with that sort of situation in the future. John?
Why just once in a lifetime?
You know, we thought it's a new thing. We're not sure how it's going to work or what the triggers are going to be. We thought we would start there. I don't know if we would be opposed down the road if we can get it worked out with once in a lifetime to expanding that concept. We thought we would start with once in a lifetime and see how it worked.
Just wondering, because I mean, once in a while we'll make a pretty big cut on elk tags on a unit or deer tags on a unit, and
it can certainly happen to be consistent.
I mean, I wonder if we wouldn't want to just do that across the board.
It could certainly happen with us. One of the reasons we started with once in a lifetime is because there's much fewer of them, and so it would be an easier process to work out with the once in a lifetime species, get the bugs worked out of it, and then if there's a need to expand it, we could do that. But you know, that's why we're here, is to get that kind of feedback.
Thank you.
So. Lastly, in terms of our original recommendations, we would like to change the timing for when funds are transferred to the division from the conservation organizations. The way it works now is that the groups will come in and they will commit money to certain projects, and we estimate what those projects are going to cost at that time. Oftentimes, they come in under what the estimated cost was, which creates some inconsistencies with bookkeeping. They've contributed a certain amount, but then we bill them for a lesser amount. It'll just put the responsibility of keeping track of those differences on the division rather than on the groups by having them commit the money up front. We will then keep track of any differences that come with project coming in under budget. We will carry a balance for those groups forward, so the next time they look at projects, we'll let them know, you know, you have X number of dollars left that because of projects that you had committed to that came in under budget. Lastly, there are a couple of changes that we're recommending based on RAC input, both from the northern region. The northern region brought up that we should explicitly exclude general season deer from the conservation permit program. That was our intention from the beginning. We would be glad to add language in there to do that. We didn't intend on. Now, I'll clarify, general season deer have been included in the past, but it was our intention to not continue that going forward. And then the Northern RAC also made a recommendation to remove the references to the 5 and 10% and only include the table to avoid confusion. Now, if this will remove the confusion and increase the transparency, then we're in favor of that. That's what we're trying to accomplish here is increase transparency and less confusion. So with that, I thank you for your time and be glad to answer any questions.
Kevin, could we go back to the last slide? So the division proposal does include explicit removal of general season deer.
Yes, we would add that to our recommendation based on the feedback that came from the northern region.
That was the intent. It just wasn't spelled out.
We didn't explicitly put it in there, but yeah, that was our intent. So if we need to just spell it out, we will. So.
Okay, at this point then, and thank you for the presentation, I'm going to open it up to questions from the public. I would ask that you come up to the microphone if you have a question and identify yourself. And just a reminder, this is the point for questions only. It's not a matter of belabored opinions voiced as questions. And if you could restrain that, we will have a comment period shortly where your comments are welcome. And for those that are going to want to make a comment in a few minutes, there are orange cards over on the table, and you need to fill one of those. And at this point, we're going to take a one-minute break, and we'll be back in business shortly.